Listen, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, even though she was called barren, and this is her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible for God. Then Mary said, See, I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. This is the word of God. The Lord will come again in glory. The Spirit and the church cry out, Come, Lord Jesus, come.
And our eyes at last shall see him through his own redeeming love. For that child so dear and gentle is our Lord in heaven above. And he leads his children on to the place where he is gone. Not in that poor lowly stable with the oxen standing by.
Friends in Christ, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Words from Book of Job, chapter 39. This is the Lord speaking out of the storm. He says, Will the wild ox consent to serve you? Will he stay by your manger at night? Can you hold him to the furrow with a harness? Will he till the valleys behind you? Will you rely on him for his great strength? Will you leave your heavy work to him? Can you trust him to bring in your grain and gather to your threshing floor? This is the word of God. Dear friends, when you picture the very first Christmas Eve in your heart and your mind's eye, what kind of animals do you see? Do you see a sheep, a goat, a donkey, maybe a rooster, and a hen? In the book of Job, towards the end, the Lord speaks out of the storm. He tells Job, really in a series of 70-some yes or no questions, yes or no. He basically tells Job, you weren't there when I was mindful and doing all of these things. You weren't there, and you aren't there. And not only does he talk about building the foundations of the earth or binding together the Pleiades, other constellations, this a creative way of talking about the stars, you think about the days of creation, but he also brings in the animal kingdom. And he lists different animals, like how he's tracked the course of the hawk. He talks about odd animals like the ostrich. He brings those in. He actually starts with the king of the animal kingdom. We normally talk about the lion, and he ends with basically the majestic eagle. Two very majestic bookends to all of his discussion of the animals. He talks about knowing what it's like for the goat to give birth and being intricately aware of that event. And then he brings up loosening, untying the donkey, the mule, taking a domesticated animal and setting it free. Here in our text, immediately after that, he talks about a wild animal and domesticating it, taming it. And if we would have read this part of scripture about 50 years ago, I think in most Wells churches, you know what animal would show up in our reading? The unicorn. That's how the King James translated this word. Well, there's a little bit of translation history behind it. The Hebrew word is reim, and when it was translated into the Greek version of the Bible, the Septuagint, they took the word monokeros, which means one-horned, and then into the Latin, the word was unicornis. And through all of those languages, the King James said unicorn. How about that? How about the unicorn? Is that the animal that you think of at the end of Job? Is that the animal that you think of in the manger scene? And probably not. It's probably just not a good translation, because in Psalm 22, the same animal shows up and God talks about its horns, plural, and a unicorn wouldn't have more than one horn. So what is this animal? What is this beast? What is this creature? Some have said maybe it's the rhinoceros. That's actually one of my favorite thoughts when it comes to the unicorn. Maybe that's what people used to think in the ancient world when they thought of such a one-horned animal or one prominent horn. Others have brought up the white antelope, because in the Arabic it looks similar to that word. But probably the best guess is the wild ox, what we have in our translation today. And another word for that may have been the extinct auroch. It shows up on the Ishtar Gate in old Babylon. It's actually a great big forward pointing horned ox that was very difficult to tame. There was an Egyptian pharaoh who bragged about it, Thutmose III, who bragged about taming this aurochs. But probably the best guess we have is just this now extinct wild ox. Isn't that interesting? When we looked for a word like manger in the Old Testament, and we came up with another interesting beast. What a funny, odd animal. So when you go home today, don't say, "I know there was a unicorn at the manger," or even at the end of Job. What you can say is, you know that the Lord has the might and the know-how to tame the wild, to give faith to the untrustworthy, and to beckon and feed things that you wouldn't have thought even have a home. Because what does the Lord say here? We're told, or asked rather, with these rhetorical questions, is a wild ox willing to serve you? Will it spend the night at your manger? Can you lead it down a furrow with a rope? Will it work the fields and the valleys behind you? Job is being confronted by the Lord, who is utterly humbling him after all of the counsel of his friends has failed. The Lord chooses not to vindicate Job or affirm or deny the counsel of his friends. Instead, he comes in to speak with power to Job. After all, this man here, Job, has requested an audience with God throughout the book a couple of times, and he gets it. He gets this great, big, powerful storm, and he gets the voice of the Lord speaking to him out of the storm. And in this utterly humbling state, he trains out the animal kingdom and tells him, I know this stuff, you don't. Not just so that the Lord can say, so there, but just when Job finally has a chance to speak to the Lord, he has a better idea of who he's talking to. And he's thought about it a little bit more. Who is in control? And how powerful, mighty, and what kind of know-how this great God of his truly has. It's a good reminder for those who need to be humbled. It may not be the most satisfying resolution for those of us who want answers, who want to know why there are problems. But at the end of the day, you and I have been told that as well, haven't we? We know the reason for the Christ child in the manger. We know it's because the sinful mind is hostile to God. Doesn't listen to him. You can't do so. We naturally turn the other way, and sinners know how wild our hearts are every time that we break a commandment and we're aware of it. In fact, we know that there are plenty of times we're not aware of the commandments that we've broken. And that too is a characteristic of a wild, untamed, hostile, sinful heart. But look what the Lord can do with a great, gigantic ox creature that's wild and nearly untamable. Even for maybe a propagandizing Pharaoh of old. Look what God can do. It talks about doing kind of like the farm work. Brings him into the barn. Brings him into the manger. And doesn't it seem so striking how the Lord talks about a manger here? I'm not saying that at the end of Job we're any closer to Christmas, but I am saying, how can those who are so mindful and interested in the manger of Christmas not think about Christmas when you've got an ox being brought to a manger? So I wanted to take one of these evenings and at least point out what the word for manger is all about. The Hebrew word is avus. That's the Hebrew word for manger. Seems to come from an action word, a verb, that means to feed or to fatten. And because it has sort of that common root, manger can also mean crib. Even before Jesus was born in one. And that's not only true in the Hebrew, it's also true in the Greek, where the word for manger is phatenes. Kind of looks like the word fatten. And that's kind of what the word means, to fatten or to feed. And I suppose it makes sense. You know, whether you're an animal or a baby, you're feeding and you're growing in this container. We often think of mangers in our manger scenes as something wooden, something shaped kind of like an X from the side with a cradle in between for food or apparently for a baby. But most mangers probably were made out of clay or stone. You get a chance to go to Israel, you see stone mangers that still kind of are spattered around the Holy Land. Because stone mangers didn't deteriorate so fast as, I suppose, something like a wooden manger. And I don't think when Jesus was born, Mary allowed him too easily to be poked by straw or hay. I would think she laid those linens in there nicely and carefully and closely. But it really is sort of a unique word when we see the word avus, the word for manger. But I think what's even more striking in texts like these is the word your. Did you hear how God said that to Job? He said, will he stay by your manger at night? Was Job trying to feed a wild ox? Not likely. Your here implies that the wild ox feeds at my manger. And in what different situations can you think of God having a manger? Well, I can think of one. And as he speaks of this manger where the Lord feeds the ox, it's good for us to realize the Lord can keep the ox's attention just as the Lord can keep your and my attention at a manger. The Lord knows how to keep wild creatures eating out of his hand. The Lord has nature wrapped around his little finger. What a gracious God you and I have. You and I who had no chance, untamed in our sin, undomesticated. When we look for a home, when we look for something trustworthy, when we look for something to tether our hearts to, the Lord provides it this year. He provides it out of the storm. He provides it in this tiny manger where God himself was born. And he provides it in the best possible manger you and I could think of, God cradling himself in the manger of his word. That's where hearts are tamed. That's where sinners find a home. That's where the Lord invites his people now and always in his word. To know that when you have been untrustworthy, you're forgiven. When you have been untamed and wild, you're now a part of his home. You've been domesticated into his family by the waters of baptism and the word of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You have a place where you belong, just like the wild ox or unicorn or rhinoceros or hen or rooster or whatever kind of animal you can think of. But so much more, because baby Jesus didn't become a wild ox. He became a human being, just like you and me. Repent of your sins, brothers and sisters, but also know that forgiveness is there for you in the Word, in the sacrament, in his Son, our Savior, in his manger. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand.